All right, well, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, just one verse. Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This morning I'd like to speak on the topic of dynamite. Dynamite. You know, I thought it amusing when I found out that the creator of dynamite, Alfred Nobel, is the person who had the Peace Prize named after him. Now that's quite an ironic thing. The person who created this element that has such destructive force is the one who had the Peace Prize named after him. But usually you always hear dynamite used in a negative context, usually. It's always in a destructive context. You think of a bank robber who tries to dynamite open a bank vault to get the money out of it. Just recently in the news, you heard about federal judges down south who opened up mail bombs and it had a dynamite type of material in it and blew up and injuring and killing some of these judges. Dynamite is used normally in a context of destruction and a negative context. But this morning I want to speak of a dynamite that is more positive. A dynamite that is even far, far more powerful than those instances that we might hear on the news. Now in this verse here, chapter 1, Paul says, he's writing to the Romans, and he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. And the use of the word power there in the Greek is dunamis. It is the same word in which we get our word dynamite. The power of God, the dynamite of God. And it says that this power, this dynamite, is unto salvation. And it's available to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, the world is looking for ways to increase their power. You open up a Reader's Digest magazine, and you'll find a column, how to increase your word power. So people are looking to increase that type of power. Athletes are trying to increase their athletic power by taking steroids. You hear of people trying to influence their friends and their peers by increasing their personal power through reading books or how to speak effectively. And so they are trying to increase their power. People all through the ages and through the centuries have tried to increase their power. But God says that there is a greater power available to you and I, to everyone that believeth. And it first begins with salvation. Now, why is this power, why is this dynamite of God so powerful? What makes it powerful? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. What makes it so powerful? Well, for one, it has the power to save. The verse again reads, it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Christ, Christ himself, has the power to save. And it has the power to break through the hardest of hearts. You know, there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, that says, God is speaking. He says, I speak in righteousness, mighty to save. God is powerful to save. There is no one that is too much stronger than God can break through their hearts, their individual hearts. There's no one beyond God's power to do that. I read the story of a fellow by the name of Mel Trotter. He was a preacher of a past era. And he one night, stumbling, drunk, walked into the Pacific Garden Mission, the old lighthouse in Chicago. You hear it on the Christian radio in Unshackled, the story of Unshackled. And Mel Trotter was stumbling in there, and he went through the entrance of that doorway, and there he heard the gospel of Christ being preached. And here was this poor person who had no money at all, and he had nothing to stand on. He couldn't even stand on his own legs. He was so drunken. And yet when he heard the gospel of Christ being preached, God broke through his heart and saved him. And that man, Mel Trotter, went on, dedicated his life and his service for the Lord, consecrated to the Lord's service and effective. And you know, one of his common phrases he liked to use was that he was saved from the guttermost to the uttermost. Took that verse over in Hebrews chapter 7, saying that we are saved to the uttermost. Well, he was literally in the gutter when he was saved. And his common phrase was that he was saved from the guttermost to the uttermost. You know, you take these road crews, take dynamite, and try to blast through mountains to make roadways go through. Not too long ago, I was in Chicago, and I had a drive out there with a work associate. And as we went through the Lehigh Valley, there was three or four of these tunnels that have been put right straight through the mountain. Now, how did they get the tunnel there? How did they move away all that rock, all that mountain? Well, they took dynamite, and they blew a hole right through the mountain, and then they set up the tunnel. Well, the gospel of Christ breaks through the hardest of hearts. No matter how hard that heart may be, that has the power to break through. I also remember reading this story, the biography of Billy Sunday. Now, Billy Sunday was maybe, I guess you could equate him with Billy Graham in a sense, back in the early 20s, in early 1900s, 1910, 1920. And he was a hard-living, swearing baseball player who had been raised at his mother's feet with the gospel in the home, and yet he went his own way. He got away from the Lord, got away from the influence of his godly parents, and he went and entered into the career of baseball, of being a baseball player. And reading his biography, it says that he was drinking with a group of baseball players out by the edge of the road, just sitting there and reveling and enjoying their drunkenness, when he heard the sounds of a gospel men's group coming out of a rescue mission. And he says, "That's it, fellows. I'm off. I'm going to start my whole life all over again." And so he went into that rescue mission. He heard the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ had the power to break through his heart and completely, radically changed his whole life. And he went from a baseball player to a very famous preacher back then. And that's before they had the PA systems. As a matter of fact, when he started preaching, I've seen clips of that toward the tail end of his preaching career. They came in with, you know, moving pictures, and they filmed him. And it was amazing to see if he would be so revved up in his preaching that he would get up on the table and preach, and he'd take his vest off, he'd take his jacket off, and he'd roll up his sleeves, and he'd just start preaching. That's how fervent he was. That's how enthusiastic he was. But what changed him? It was the gospel of Christ, the dynamite of God, the power of God. And it broke through his heart, as hard as it was, and softened it, and got him on a different road altogether. Ephesians 1:19 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power in us?" The power of God working in an individual. As many of you know, I work in a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center, and I think I've mentioned this fellow's name before, but I met, when I first came on staff there, a fellow by the name of Richard. And Richard had been through 28 detoxification centers before he came to Keswick, and not one of them took care of his problem because they didn't preach the gospel. And when we got to Keswick, there he heard the gospel for the first time and trusted Christ as a Savior. And it completely took away, Christ did, and the gospel of Christ took away that desire for him to drink and to take drugs. 28 times through a detox center. Can you imagine that? I would have given up if it was 3 or 4 or 5 times. But he went 28 times looking for an answer to his drug problem. And he couldn't find it until he got into the ear's reach of the gospel, And then he trusted Christ as Savior. And that broke through his heart. That's the power of God. That's the dunamis, the dynamite of God that has the power to break through even the hardest of situations. Why is it so powerful, the gospel of Christ? Because it has the power to save. It has the power to take a person and take them off of one area, one pathway, one road, and put them on something completely different, different road altogether. Well, that's the power to save. But there is another power that we see in Scripture, and that is that the gospel of Christ has the power to heal. Not only to save, but to heal. Now, there's a big difference here. A person trusts Christ as Savior, and they're told on the basis of God's Word that they have a home in heaven, and that will never be taken away. We sang about that this morning. That a person is no more secure, no matter how much they work for the Lord, no matter how much they do for Him, they're no more secure than they ever were before when they trusted Christ. But God just doesn't save an individual and just leave them there. He just doesn't say, okay, you, when you die, will be in heaven. He gives the power to heal some of the memories of a wasted and ruined life before. It says that God remembers our iniquities no more. And I believe that God helps us to forget even some of the things that happened in our past unsaved days. And He heals those memories, and He heals friendships, and He heals families. Because that's the dynamite of God. It's not just a one-time experience where God breaks through a person's life and heart, but it's an ongoing power. It's as if, well, one of these great Hoover Dam, it has power surging through it to hold back the water, and a great amount of electricity and power is generated from that dam. And that's an ongoing power. That's how God's power is as well. It just doesn't happen right off the bat and stay there. It continues, and it's ongoing power. God says in Exodus chapter 15, verse 27, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now, there's a lot of people that would like to say, well, God heals us physically, and I believe He does. But far greater, I think, is the healing of memories and the healing of our mind from what had occurred before we were saved, in our unsaved days. As I mentioned a few moments ago, He just doesn't take us off the road to death and destruction, but He puts us on a whole new road. He puts us on a road to recovery. And He puts us on the path of the just that shines more and more to that perfect day. It's not just the power to save, it's the power to heal. And that's the power of God, and that's the dynamite that's part of that gospel. I remember when I was in college, talking to a college friend, a girl that was in another class of mine, and she said, yeah, my family didn't come to know Christ until a few years ago. None of us knew Christ in our family. And she said, first it was one, then it was others, then it was my parents. And he says, my parents love themselves more than they've ever loved themselves before. He said he could see the difference. She said they could see the difference. The children could see the difference in the parents loving one another. That was the difference. There was a family relationship that had been fractured and that was broken. And Christ healed that family. He healed that fractured family. And they came together. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." If God said, you're saved, you're going to heaven, left you with a broken heart, what kind of power would that be? God gives the hope to the person. As the hymn says, bright hope for tomorrow. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. that's all there is in the Christian life, that we can say, well, we fellowship with one another, that would make us most miserable, as Paul said. But he gives the Christian a living hope. And when a person has their understanding in Scripture and has a full comprehension of the gospel of Christ, the power of God, not only do they realize that God has the power to save, to break through the hardest of hearts and the worst of situations, but he also has the power to heal, to have the power to put together families and bring a person even back together. I've read and heard and seen with my own eyes families that were just splintered because of the sin of a father or the sin of a mother and brought back together. I know one family, there are 7 children in the family. There was adultery, there was drunkenness, there was drugs, there was loss of a driver's license because of an accident, an 80-mile-an-hour chase away from the police that ended up in an accident. And the family today, you'd look at them, you wouldn't think there was anything wrong in their past life. Just a happy unit together, loving and serving the Lord. The fellow's name is Paul Mason. I've seen him talk. I heard him preach. You'd think he was raised in a Bible school all his life, knows the Scriptures inside and out. And when did this all occur? Just 2 years ago, where he was in that situation, running from the police, 85 miles an hour, crashed his car into his wife's car. It's unbelievable to see, and yet you can look at that family and you wouldn't think there was anything wrong with that family at all. Christ has the power to heal. He has the power to bring people back together again, bring families back together, bring people and their own lives back together again. That's the dynamite of God. Well, not only does the gospel of Christ have the power to save and have the power to heal, but it has the power to strengthen for service. It's not, again, just that Christ breaks through and then leaves a person on their own. He has the power to strengthen for Christian service. The verse that we read in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 is, He giveth power to the faint, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, how does it go? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the ongoing power. That's the ongoing strength that Christ gives to anyone who avails themselves of it. Again, we come back to our text here in Romans 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power, the dynamite of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, of course, we take that verse and we say, well, this is a good gospel verse. It means in its primary application to the unsaved. It's available, the power of God, to everyone that believes, to the Jew and then also to the Greek, to the Gentile. But that power also is available to Christians. And there are many Christians who don't take advantage of what God offers them. It's just like Joshua as he was in the promised land. Here were the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. In sinful independence, they went out to go after Ai, the city of Ai. They didn't consult the Lord. They didn't pray and ask God to bless their plans. I wonder if we at any time fit into that category. We don't pray. We just run straight ahead. We don't ask the Lord to bless. We don't ask Him to open His Word to us, to make sure that we're not going the wrong way or we're compromising Scripture. And in sinful independence, just like Joshua and the other children of Israel, they went ahead thinking that they could go ahead and conquer and tackle the problem that lay before them. What was it? 36 men killed? The whole nation just routed by the city of Ai because they went out on their own strength. They didn't ask God for strength. But had they, God would have granted them strength. It was just a matter of asking for that strength It's available to everyone that believes, that trusts, that hopes in that. And so that's what happened with these children, these soldiers of Israel. He empowers us to live the Christian life. It is the dynamite of God continually working in us. Think about David. Now here's an example of God's power flowing and working through him. David went out to battle against Goliath, the giant. And you recall the scene in the Old Testament. Here is the nation of Israel on one side and the nation of the Philistines on the other side, both sort of on mountain, what I picture as mountain ledges. And there's a valley between them, it says in Scripture. And the nation of Israel, led by Saul, their leader, who stood head and shoulders over all the rest of the men, he was frightened to go out there and battle against Goliath. He was frightened to go out against the Philistines because that Philistine raised his fist and he said, come out and battle against me, and if I beat you, I'm going to give your carcass to the fowls of the air. Very intimidating picture. And here are the children of Israel, and soldiers who had been raised for war from their youth up, frightened by the prospect of going out to battle. And yet we see David coming in, and just a young man. It says he was ruddy in his appearance, which to me sounds like he didn't even have the ability to grow a beard. I mean, his face was still sort of rosy. He was still young. And he tended the sheep. How could he go against this Philistine who was 9 feet 9 inches tall and had a spear whose head was 2 pounds? How could he go out and battle against this great giant? And yet he said, I'm trusting in the living God. And the living God gave him power, strengthened him for the tasks at hand. You and I have that same access to the same strength that David had years ago. Generations ago. There are times, even in my own life, and I've seen it and happen in other people's lives as well, where somebody was not even equipped to do a job for the Lord, and yet totally trusted him. Because they've come to an end in themselves, and they said, Lord, I can't do this. I absolutely can't do this, humanly speaking. Is there a time in your life that you've ever come across an obstacle where you said, Lord, I just can't do this. I am not the person for this job. Just like Moses, who said, I'm not the person for the job. And yet God gives the strength as we wait on him. That's what the verse says. He giveth power to the faint, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You don't think of young men running out of strength. Those are the people that go to war. When they get to past 30 and 40 years of age, they don't draft those people. They're too old. And we know 40 is not old, is it? But here the young men have to go out to battle. And in this verse we're told that even the youth shall faint. Even the young men will fall, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the lesson that Scripture tells us. And this is the power of God. This is God's dynamite. It's his power flowing through us. It's like that hymn, Channels Only, that God's power can flow through us. And he can use us every day and every hour. What gave Martin Luther the ability to stand before the organized church and defy some of its traditions and teachings that were unbiblical? What gives Billy Graham the ability to stand before large audiences and citywide crusades with death threats against he and his family? What gave George Whitefield and John Wesley and these other preachers in a past generation the ability to stand before angry mobs and preach the gospel? It was just that, the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, the dunamis, the dynamite that works in us." So God and the gospel gives us power to strengthen us for service. Now the gospel also gives us power to be restored. To be restored is one thing. If you notice, there's different aspects to the Christian life. When a person first becomes a Christian, they're saved. God says there's a new heart given to that individual. There's this new spirit put within them. So there's a new home in heaven. There's a new reservation made in heaven for that individual when they're first saved. And then, of course, a lot of these healing, the power to heal past memories and past things can come about. And so that seems to be like the next step. And then there's, as an individual, a Christian becomes more active in the assembly of Christians where they're meeting. This individual gets strengthened for service. So there's another level of the Christian life. But there's another level too that somewhere along the way it seems like each one of us fall into. And that is somehow we get off the track, whether we're distracted or whether we intentionally go that way. Sometimes we take a wrong turn. Sometimes we're just like the prodigal son. And you don't have to have your feet outside the church to be a prodigal son. You can be sitting right in the meeting and be a prodigal son in your heart and in your mind. And like the prodigal son, he said, "Give me that which belongs to me." And he went out and his heart was far from home. Even so, a Christian can have their heart very far from church. And so the prodigal son left with that selfish desire to go see what the world was all about. And he got off track. And the Bible is filled with examples of people that got off track. Think of David. He was a person called by God, a person after his own heart. Here's a king that God says, he's a man after my own heart. And what happened to David? Even though he was prosperous in his kingdom, even though he was successful, even though he had a name and a reputation, even though he had many goods, gold and silver, he had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. And that was not when he was young. It says in Scripture, in the days when kings went forth to battle, that David basically stayed home. The reason was he was past his prime. He couldn't go out where the battle was, and so he stayed home. And he got involved with his wife of Uriah the Hittite. David fell, but David was restored. Because in Psalm 23, verse 3, we read, "He restoreth my soul." And most scholars agree that David wrote that psalm when he was an older man, after his experience with Bathsheba. That's why he could cry out and say, "He restoreth my soul." That's why David could say that. So the gospel of Christ has the power to restore an individual. Not just strengthen him for service, and if he goofs up, that's the end. God has the power to restore an individual. How about the case of John Mark? You recall in the New Testament, when Paul went out on his first missionary journey, it was Saul and Barnabas, Paul, the Apostle Paul, and Barnabas. And they took with them John Mark. And they headed out. And the first thing they did on their missionary journey, the first thing they experienced was opposition. There was a false prophet by the name of Bar Jesus who was trying to bar the message of Jesus. And it wasn't too long after that Saul and Barnabas continued on to Pamphylia, and John Mark left the work when they continued on. What happened in that scripture? Acts chapter 13. We don't know. What I can do is read between the lines. For some reason, John Mark either thought the opposition was too much for him, or or John Mark didn't realize that the Christian life was not all a bed of roses, or something came up, or maybe there was an argument that he had with the Apostle Paul. Who knows? All we can do is speculate. But we know this, is that he left the work at Pamphylia. And then on the second missionary journey, when Barnabas and the Apostle Paul were heading out again, there was an argument between these two men of God. One wanted Mark to go with him, and one didn't. Barnabas wanted Mark to go with him, and Paul said, I don't think it's a good idea for John Mark to come with us. And so from that point, we don't read anything about Barnabas. And the scripture record follows the Apostle Paul without John Mark. What happened? Who knows? Maybe John Mark backslid. Maybe he just forgot about the Lord. Maybe he got involved in his own pursuits. Maybe he wanted to stay home and make a tremendous living for himself and enjoy the pleasures of life. Who knows what happened with him? But we do read elsewhere in Scripture, later on, chronologically, that Paul is speaking to Timothy and he said, bring Mark with you. He's profitable for the ministry. What happened there? Did Barnabas counsel him? Barnabas, the son of consolation, counsel John Mark? Bring him back to the Lord? I don't know. But it seems that it could be. And who's behind that? Who's the unseen hand behind all the events like this? Isn't it the Lord? And so, John Mark was restored after he deserted the work at Pamphylia. Hosea chapter 14, verse 3 says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. God speaking to anyone and to this situation here, this context of Hosea 14 to the children of Israel. He said, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. God has the power to restore. God has the power to enliven, to strengthen again for the Christian life. A Christian may have been on the path for 15, 20, 30 years and think they're no more of use to God than they were 15 years previous. God says, I give strength to those who trust in me. I empower them for service. You're never beyond hope, even if you're a Christian. You've been a Christian for many, many years. You're never beyond the hope of being used of God in a very, very special way. You think of Samson. Oh, how vividly that picture comes to mind. Samson could have been had a tremendous ministry, and because of his lust for women, because of his own selfishness, that brought him down. And yet God was able to empower him for service, and he brought down more of the Philistines in his final great act than he did all his life. That's what Scripture tells us. So God has the power to strengthen for service, and God has the power to restore as well. And there's no one outside the scope of God's forgiveness at any time in their life. The final thing I want to mention about the gospel of Christ, the power of God, God's dynamite, is that it has the power to carry. Now, you often think of dynamite as blasting through and a big explosion and pieces going everywhere. And certainly that picture you can see in an individual's life when the walls of around their heart break through and they hear the gospel. But how does that apply to a person when we say that the gospel of Christ has the power to carry? The power to carry. How does that fit in? Well, in Isaiah 40, again, the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 11, earlier in the chapter of the last quote I had, it says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with young. He'll carry. He'll carry. Do you ever feel like you've been on the road for a while and you're a little weary? I'm talking the Christian life. And you feel weary about some things. I know there are a lot of Christians that wonder if they're ever going to make it to the end. That either they're going to be unfaithful to the Lord, or they're just going to collapse before they get to the finish line. And I think, frankly, we all think that at one time or another. Will we be able to make it? Will we be able to hold out? It's important to have an understanding of the assurance of salvation, too, from Scripture. That enters into that. But there are people that have that understanding of the assurance of salvation. They still wonder if they're going to even make it to the finish line. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And I remember being in a graveyard one time. Not that I like to do that in my spare time, but I happened to be around one day with a friend to read some of the epitaphs on these tombstones. And what a contrast to see that. You can tell almost just by reading the epitaphs who is a Christian, who is not. Some I've read where it says, I go down into the chambers of death. And such a sad, hopeless situation being proclaimed on that tombstone. And yet there is another tombstone I read. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. Finish the course. Finish the course. God has the power to carry us, even when we may not feel like we have the power to carry ourselves. That's the truth that's being conveyed in that passage. Isaiah 46:4 says, even to your old age I am he. I will, even to your gray hairs will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, I will even carry. That's a tremendous truth, a tremendous promise. God will carry us to the end. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, then he that yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. We wonder if we're able to hold out, and yet God holds out for us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. I'm reminded of that passage in Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 through 14. It says, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them go astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains, the treacherous, the dangerous passes into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? Verse 14, even so it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Who are these little ones? That's you and me. In Christ. The person that's a Christian. The person who's put their faith and trust in Christ for eternal salvation. These are the little ones. It says none of these should perish in John chapter 10. Nobody can pluck them out of the Father's hand. He said, I and the Father are one. No man is stronger than my Father, and no one can pluck them out of my Father's hands. D.L. Moody, the evangelist from a past century, said that he was weary in the work many times, but never weary of it. Weary in the work, but never weary of it. And so even though we sometimes question our abilities, whether we're going to be able to make it, God says, I have the power to carry. I will carry you, even to your gray hairs will I carry you. The power to save, the power to heal, the power to strengthen, the power to restore, the power to carry. All these are involved in the gospel of Christ, the power of God, the dunamis, the dynamite of God. Flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. That's the power of God. It's not a one-shot deal. Just doesn't happen and it's done with, and that's it. God never leaves. He never forsakes. You know, there's a song that I remember when I first was a Christian, which is now about 15, 16 years ago. And it's a song I hear every now and then, but there is power in the blood. Power in the blood. Just to think that a person 2,000 years ago hung on that cross and died there and gave his life's blood for your sins and mine, for the sins of the world, past, present, and future. And that same power is available to us today as much as it was back then. I love that verse in Acts chapter 1. It says, this same Jesus who you saw go shall come again in like manner. This day where there's VCRs and there's televisions and there's all sorts of scientific technology and advancements, we often think that these truths seem to be more applicable to a past generation, to a past century or centuries, and how could that apply to us? Seems like we're so self-sufficient, mankind. And yet God says, this same Jesus, the one who is today, yesterday, today, and forever, he'll come again in like manner. That same power, that same strength, that same healing, that same carrying is available, is there for us as much as it was for people in the past. We pray that God would bless these words to our hearts. Shall we pray? Our Father and God, we thank you for the truth of your word. And we thank you for the fact that you came into our lives. You blasted through some of the walls that were surrounding our hearts. You broke through even the toughest of situations in many of our cases. And you reached us where we were at. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that the gospel of Christ has the power to save. But Father, we also thank you for the fact that you just didn't leave us there, but that you continued in our lives and are continuing, that you're healing. You healed and you continue to heal, that you strengthen and continue to strengthen. Father, that you've restored many of us many a time. And Father, certainly we can all give testimony to the fact you are carrying us along the way. Many times our thoughts are that the journey is too hard for us, just as you said to Elijah. And yet, Father, we realize that you are underneath. You are our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And Father, we give you praise for that. We pray that you would strengthen us with these truths, Father. Encourage us this day. Help us to feel the joy of the Lord, even this day. And Father, we pray that you would make us a thankful people for all that you've done for us in Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen.